ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 1 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 7 ಸನ್ ಆಫ್ ಜೋನ್ ಆಫ್ ಪನಿಶ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 26 ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಭಕ್ತಿವಿರಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭು. O Lord of Lords, how is it that this dangerous effulgence is spreading all around? Where does it come from? I do not understand. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, know from me that this is the act of the son of Drona. He has thrown the hymns of a nuclear energy, Brahmastra, and he does not know how to retract the glare. He has helplessly done this, being afraid of imminent death. ಚಂದಸ್ಯಾ ಜನಗಣಸುಲಕಯಾಂ ಚಕ್ಷುಷ್ಮಿಲಿತಾಂ ಜೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಾನವೀಷ್ಟಂ ಶಕ್ತಂ ಜೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ಉಪಕಾರ ಮಾಯ ದದಾತಿ ಸಾಪರಂತಿಕಂ. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತಿಕ ರಾಧಾ ಶಿವ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ. But sometimes say that you commit one sinful activity, then the next sinful activity becomes easier to perform. Because you've already acted in sinfully, so you think, well, what's the use? I'm already a sinner, so what does it matter if I sin again? Well, the first sin is the most, you can say, the one we should most carefully avoid. Once we start sinning, then the next sin, it gets easier and easier. So this was the case with Aswatthama. His first sin was he killed the sleeping sons of Draupadi, very gross sinful activity. And so now he's making more sin. You lose your intelligence because of lust, because of anger. There's no more intelligence, and then you don't think of what the consequence will be. This is why motive goodness should be cultivated, because in the motive goodness, then you become cool-headed. You can see what the result of your action is before you perform it. This is intelligence. Intelligent person, he can know beforehand, if he does this, this is going to be the reaction. Well, how can he know? Because he's cool-headed, he's able to calculate and have at least a fair idea of what the result will be, especially if he's doing it on the principle of religion. Or to please the Lord, then he knows the result will be auspicious. Aswatthama has lost his brahminical status. Brahminical means mode of goodness. But kshatriya is mode of passion. So therefore the kshatriyas are guided by the Brahmins. But Aswatthama wasn't guided. His father was brahminical. But he wasn't guided by his father. His father had already left the planet, and now he was on his own, and he was acting whimsically, like a crazy kshatriya. But knowing the power, having power, just like Sringi was another, had power, but they don't know how to use it properly. So this is a very dangerous situation to be in. Therefore, the devotee never prays for power. Because what is the use of power if you don't know how to use it? The same way the devotee doesn't pray for money. What is the use of money if you don't know how to use it? The devotee prays simply to be engaged in the service of the Lord. This is his desire. Whether the Lord gives him power or gives him money, that's up to the Lord. If the Lord does, then his mood is to be very careful not to do anything which is not pleasing to the Lord. So then whatever money or power comes will be used properly, it will benefit others, and it will also benefit the person who's using it. So therefore, we shouldn't be, in other words, we should be satisfied with our position. This is a mode of goodness. Santosh. Santosh means one who's satisfied in a position. Whatever position we're in, we can see, oh, this is the position that I should be in. This is the position due to my karma, due to my destiny, due to Krishna's mercy. whatever circumstances are there, whatever factors bring about the situation, then I should be happy with that, resign to that, and think, yes, this is right. And still, it's a dynamic thing. Not that we become reactionary and just try to keep the status quo, whatever is there. This is what happens sometimes. We think, well, whatever is there is right, therefore we try to keep it. But that's not the idea either, because the situation is changing. And so it's dynamic. So that we have to be open to. Sometimes in the history of this mundane world, we've seen that religious influence sometimes has that effect of trying to maintain the status quo, even when change is wanted. Even when the Lord is making it clear that there should be change, but we say no, we resist that. We say no, we want to keep the status quo. We want to keep the situation the way it is. This is called reactionary or ultra-conservative, where they are not open to be progressive. So there's a balance then, how to be progressive, open for the ongoing inspiration and revelation coming from the Lord, open to be allow ourselves to be guided by the Lord. At the same time, not changing just for change's sake. This is the liberal idea that the situation is not good the way it is now, so we have to change it, always be changing, just for change's sake. And then that also creates havoc. So especially principles of religion, we don't change them. They're not within our jurisdiction. The legislature is meeting, the modern legislative bodies are meeting all over the world. They're making laws. But actually, the law is already there. this is simply becomes unwanted, for the most part, all these changes. The law is already given. The Ten Commandments are already there in the Christian idea. But we can't accept that. We have to change. It says, thou shalt not kill. But we're passing law, Supreme Court, oh, it's all right to kill the child in the womb. this is their so-called intelligence. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, Brahman is required. And what is the qualification of the Brahman to guide us? That he's tolerant. He's merciful. He's austere. These qualities of the Brahman. So Prabhupada wanted to cultivate one Brahminical class of persons who could be actually Brahminical and could advise the rest of society. So we are practicing that, how to develop these qualities, and of course with the method of bhakti yoga, especially chanting the holy name of the Lord, then we have some hope. Otherwise, by our own, you can say, karma, we have no hope, because we're born in a sinful situation and naturally we're going to act sinfully. But the power of this process of bhakti yoga is so great that we can actually become Krishna conscious. And then, in that Krishna conscious condition, we can act like Brahmins, to advise, to be open for the advice of the Lord, and therefore our life is becoming progressively perfect, and then we can lead others also in that same direction by the combination of being guided by the Shastra and Guru and Sadhu, and by chanting the holy name of the Lord, which is advised in these by these authorities, so that internally we are becoming more and more at harmony with ourselves. We are able to see that our mind is our worst enemy, and we are making a strong attempt to bring the mind under control, and gradually the mind is becoming our friend. And this is the central figure or central point of yoga practice. We read in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita how this Lord is stressing on this point of controlling the mind, how it is so important. And at the end of that chapter, he advises the best way to do that is to always remember me, always engage in my service. So if we make that attempt to seriously engage in the service of the Lord under the order of the Guru Sada Shastra, then we can expect, we can be very hopeful that our mind will become our friend, and we will become satisfied in ourselves, peaceful, so that we can develop these motive goodness qualities, these brahminical qualities, that we can guide be guided. Because guiding and be guiding, they're the same thing, really. Because one who is guided by the Lord, then he can guide others. One who is guided by the spiritual master, then immediately he's qualified to guide others. Just do as I'm doing, Prabhupada used to say. What is the problem? Do as I am doing. So we can also make that point to others. Just like Bhakti Daniel, whoever's coming, we can tell them, just do as we're doing. What is the difficulty? Get up early, chant Hare Krishna, avoid illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. Do some practical service for Krishna. And in this way, you'll be making progress. And you'll feel satisfied. Because you're making progress, then you'll come above the lust and greed and anger. And then you'll be actually able to see that you're not this body, that you're a pure spirit soul. And you won't be attracted to the temporary sense objects. Because you're getting a higher taste. Your satisfaction comes from within. And so, you'll become your own best friend and the best friend of everybody. One who actually knows this science, this is his position. So that we have faith in this because we saw practically that this was the position that Prabhupada had attained. He wasn't bluffing. He wasn't giving us a post-data check that, you know, sometime in the future I'll become qualified. No, he was already qualified. And so we have faith that we can also become qualified because he gave us the system. It's not something that he created out of his own brain, but something that's been handed down from the original Guru, Krishna. And we simply have to accept it as it is. And then we'll see in our own life, practically, that it's working. And then, naturally, when it's working for us, we can, with confidence, invite others to also take it. It'll work for them. Why won't it? It worked for Prabhupada. It worked for all the previous saints and saintly persons. It's working for us. Why won't it work for anybody? It will. But we simply have to take it up in good faith, with sincerity. And we see practically, by encouraging people to do that, how their lives are changing. And they're becoming sober and in harmony with themselves. And so we're very optimistic that the future is bright and we're progressing towards the goal of entering into the spiritual world. Okay. Question?
Maharaj, on the end you said that we can be in harmony with ourselves. So what actually this means? Because today many people or even devotees, they have idea that be in harmony with ourselves means that we should do what we are feeling or what we have, you know, some sincere desire.
Yeah, we should do what we're feeling, but that we have to know who is the we that's feeling. Is that our real self, or is that some perverted self? Perverted self will say, yes, I feel like having illicit sex life, so I'm going to do it. But the real self will see, oh, this is terrible, because it implicates me more and more, and I'll have to suffer. So first of all, we want to do what we feel, that's good, but first we have to know who we are. Therefore, guidance is required until we come to that point of being spontaneously attracted. We should be very careful to keep ourselves under the protection of those who are advanced, the acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada, and take up their instructions and the instruction of Krishna. We should read Bhagavad Gita and see what is it we're supposed to do. And therefore, there it's to explain what is religion, what is pleasing to God, what is not pleasing to God. If we feel like doing something that's not pleasing to God, doesn't mean we should do it. We should understand, I have this feeling because I'm sick. I'm a disease condition. Therefore, I want to compete with the Lord. So let me take the medicine to get cured so I can actually come, find out who I am and become in harmony with myself, my real self. There has to be some standard. So this, people are impatient because of motive passion. They're not ready to find out what is their real self. And so they're acting on the mental platform, and then they find out that they suffer. Mode of passion means you're going to suffer. But this is the first qualification of one who's coming to the mode of goodness, one who's making progress, is that they become jolly. They're no longer their own worst enemy. You do what you feel like doing. If I feel like punching somebody in the face, I can do that. But then I end up in jail for assault. And so I do what I feel like doing. So what? What is the result of that? But if you do what your real self wants, then you'll always be happy. There won't be any. Because Krishna will protect you. Because you'll be doing what's pleasing to Him. Because this is our constitutional position, to be the servant of the Lord. So if we're acting on that platform, then we'll always be protected. This is Krishna's promise. So the people are cheat, that's all. The cheating propensity is there. And when they come to spiritual life, after some time, many people think, oh, this is too difficult, so let me cheat. And become sahaja, take something cheaply, and think I can make my own religion. This is why we're not pleased with Triparati Swami. He wants to make his own religion. Oh, now women can take sannyas and so on. He's cheating. In the name of religion, he's a big, big leader. He's cheating people. He's cheating himself, first of all, and he's cheating others because he's not accepting the standard. Okay, let's go.
I was thinking, Maharaj, also about this guidance. Like, someone is practicing spiritual life and he has some realizations and he can see that, you know, this process is working in his life, that he has some connection with spiritual master or Krishna. But still, in practical way, you can see there is many, difference between even devotees. Even these devotees who are on the brahminical position or brahminical level. So how actually we can know that this is good guidance, or that how we can guide other, like kshatriyas and etc., how they can accept our authority or our guidance, if they can see that, you know, even between brahmins are so many different, you know, ideas, and why I should follow him, not this other, you know. And
yeah, therefore, accepting guru is a personal thing. There are so many gurus, but the basic principle is the same. Every guru should be pointing you towards Krishna. Now, according to your nature and so on, that direction may vary according to circumstance and so on. So you should find somebody you have faith in, that they won't cheat you, that they'll guide you in the best way. And otherwise, one is guided by the mind, but the mind is subjected to cheating. Therefore, it's advised that we should take the chance of being guided by the spiritual master, because when he's thinking about what's good for us, then we have more faith that he's not cheating us, like the mind has been doing since time immemorial. If we don't have that faith, then we shouldn't accept the spiritual master. But once we accept him, then we should have some confidence that, okay, he may not be doing exactly what is the best thing for me personally, but he may not be guiding me exactly perfectly. But the principle is there, that this is pleasing to Krishna. The system is pleasing to Krishna. That I've agreed to be guided by my spiritual master. This is the system that Krishna has arranged. So I know by following it, then Krishna is pleased. Even though I may not be perfectly pleased, maybe I could have done this or that or something different. But still, that's part of the austerity. Until we become so advanced that it becomes just like Prabhupada. He was being guided by his spiritual master even when he was 70 years old. He was coming to America on the order of his spiritual master. And he was established this movement here. But by 1972 or 1973, then he went back to India and he was openly saying, But now I follow the order of my spiritual master. I've established this mission in the Western world. Now I'm doing what I want to do. I want to preach in India. So he was taking the process even when he was, 70 years old, 75 years old. And he was happy to do that. So, similarly, we should see that this is Krishna's arrangement, and that I may have to do something which is not so pleasing to my nature, but it's not going to kill me. That'll make me stronger. I find out that maybe that my nature is different than I thought it was. Just like I'll give you an example. There was one devotee, Bhanu, who's now Bhanu Swami. He was with us in Japan for years. And he never went out on book distribution. And I was thinking that, I didn't push him to go out because he was staying back, taking care of the deities, cooking, and translating into Japanese, which I thought was important. And his nature was so mild, I don't know if you know him, very mild Japanese body, born in Canada, but from Japanese parents. And, I just didn't think he could sell books. It was so hard going out every day, meeting so many, resistance. It was like a little mode of passion, and he seemed to be more in the mode of goodness. So I never pushed him to sell books. But then after I left, Guru Kripa came, and Guru Kripa was a very passionate person. He got everybody out, including Bhanu. He would push Bhanu out every day to sell books, and Bhanu turned out to be a very, very good book distributor. It was really, and I was surprised. So my point is that I may have made a mistake by not pushing him out more, but that's all right. I mean, in the course of time, he did go out, and then he found that he could do that. And even though, now he's not doing that kind of work, but still, it was good that he had that experience. It wasn't something perhaps that he really liked, but his authority was pushing him to do it. And for sort of 2 or 3 years, he was doing it. And, he proved that he was quite good at it, and I'm sure he got some satisfaction out of that, out of being able to go out and meet people and talk to them every day and so on. You would think it wasn't his nature. He was more shy. But he was able to do it. So sometimes it's hard to know. What is your own nature even? You say, oh, that's not my nature. But you should at least try. If that's the order of the Acharya, probably wants us to go out and distribute books. So let me try for some time and see if I don't learn something. They're very valuable. I know I learned valuable things from my years as book distributor about my own self. So that's the danger, when we start thinking, I know better than the spiritual master, what's good for me, then, where does it stop? Doesn't mean we can't reveal our mind to the spiritual master, like we did that with Prabhupada. We would tell him what we thought was the best thing we could do, whatever was our, you can say, propensity, what was our talent, what was our our nature. We tried to reveal ourselves as best we could to Prabhupada, and so he could engage us accordingly. But then, he would engage us, that depended on from his side. We may have had a nature or propensity that we couldn't engage at that time, but we had. So we would have to go on for some time doing something we didn't particularly like so much, but out of duty. And then, gradually we find, at least my experiences over the years, that you see the devotees end up doing what they like to do. Just like you were saying, you like to do seminars and so on. So I'm sure that in the course of time you'll do that, because that's what you want to do, and it's also Krishna conscious. But it doesn't mean, tomorrow I'm not going to do anything, I'm only going to do seminars. It's not ready, not the right time, perhaps. But still, you can reveal your mind and say, this is what I'd rather be doing, this is what I like to do. But not with a demand. It should be, what I like to contribute, what do you think? And then we can discuss practically, because Krishna consciousness is always practical. And Prabhupada was very practical too. As he was so Krishna conscious, he had to be practical. So let's speak practically, we can discuss. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.